Powering Michigan's Future with Dick Hafner.
Good evening. On tonight's edition of Powering Michigan's Future, the future is bright as we explore opportunities within the electrical industry for apprenticeship education and employment with Tom Bowes, Director of Education and Outreach for the IBEW NECA Electrical Industry Training Center, and Kathy Devlin, Head Instructor at the Center. Apprenticeship Training Program, Sam Maniachi and Brad Hewitt, currently enrolled at the center. So stay tuned for Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, your host, Dick Hafner.
We kick off the program tonight by welcoming Tom Bowes, Director of Education and Outreach, and Kathy Devlin, the Head Instructor, both with the IBEW NECA Electrical Industry Training Center in Warren. So welcome to you both, Tom and Kathy. Tom, let's start with you with an overview of the center. Tell us what that is, and tell us about the electrical industry apprenticeship opportunities there.
Well, the center is one of a network of about 250 centers across the United States that operate under the aegis of the National Joint Apprenticeship Training Committee. And our function in the southeastern Michigan area is to develop talent and do the training for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers and the National Electrical Contractors Association in the area. So kind of our mainstay for 100 years has really been the apprenticeship program, which currently what we call the Inside Electrician Program is a 5-year training program that familiarizes the students with pretty much everything that goes into an electrical installation in primarily commercial, industrial, and institutional buildings. We also have a 3-year telecommunications program for teledata installers that gets into various things as far as data cabling, networking, fiber optics, pretty much anything that goes towards data systems within a building. We also have a residential apprenticeship training program, which is also a 3-year program. And that's primarily a tool by which we're able to open up opportunities for those that can't immediately access the insider telecom programs. And we can also use that as an evaluation means for people that want to get in and kind of work their way up through the ladder. We also do continuing ed training for all those groups of people. And so not only those individuals, but members of contractor staff sometimes come to us and do specialty training. A lot of what drives the market these days is kind of post-apprenticeship certification training. And so we do, for example, instrumentation technician training and welder training and cable splicer training and fiber optic certifications and fire alarm technician certifications. And it's all part of our continuing ed program because as the electrical industry becomes more and more technical, you know, it's not like the old days when I graduated 30-some-odd years ago and I walked out the door with a graduation certificate and a fairly nominal kit of tools and could wire the world. Well, these days with the merger of information technology and energy technology, it really requires a lot more education than it did in the past.
You mentioned there are more than 200 of these centers across the country. Is the program at the centers all the same, or do they vary by region, for example?
The fundamental program, which we call the core curriculum program, is the same for all of those training centers. And then each market is able to develop additional training, specific modules that would be useful for them. So the National Joint Apprenticeship Training Committee has those in the can, but let's say, for example, there's something specific that we need in the Detroit market, then what we're able to do is working in conjunction with the national program, heretofore known as the NJTC, we work with them to get those programs certified so that they meet certain requirements that when the student graduates, then they can receive college credits for that, whether it's part of the core curriculum program that's standardized throughout the United States or whether it's an elective course either developed by the NJATC or developed locally.
Do you find a lot of the students want the college credits, that they're going on to college, or maybe they are doing both at the same time?
It's kind of a mix. We have some that have that old attitude of, well, I got into the trades because they didn't want to go to college. But we have some other ones that, they're kind of looking at the future going, all right, I'm doing the installation end of the business now, but really where I'd like to be in 20 years' time is to have my own company and be an entrepreneur and actually run a contracting business. And so those are the people that we typically see more likely to pursue the college avenue, because then they'll go on to take business courses and other things that would help them to actually run a business.
Kathy Devlin is the head instructor. Kathy, give us some details now on the three different types of apprenticeship programs that are there.
Okay, well, as Tom said, we have three different programs. We have the residential, the sound and communication, and the inside construction. All of our students on all three of those programs will come to school once every 2 weeks. They attend school all day, and then the rest of the time they're out in the field getting their hands-on knowledge through supervision of a journeyman or a installer tech. In the residential program, in the classroom, they'll study AC, DC theory. They'll study a lot of the codes, Michigan Residential Code and the National Electrical Code. They'll do conduit bending, everything that, as Tom said, went into building a house or a three-story small building. The sound and communication apprentices, we have a numerous amount of labs that we have just created that give them experience in the classroom with fire alarm installation, security, access control, fiber optics, as well as power quality for the communication end. And they also do the AC-DC theory, just like the other students. Our inside construction apprentices, along with the AC-DC theory, they learn how to wire transformers, motors, motor control, charge controllers for the new electric vehicles that we have coming out. They do photovoltaic training, wind generator, conduit bending, and all those things that go into the everyday installation of industrial commercial buildings.
I'm sure these students, your people that you're training at the center, have to be self-motivated. And this sounds like it's very technical, it's very detailed, and it has to be because you're turning out the best of the best in this business. How many people are actually able to go from start to finish, Kathy, and how many muster out? How often do you have to tell somebody, nope, you're not going to make it in this business?
I guess I should weigh in on that. We have a completion rate that's about 90%, really. What tends to happen is if somebody's not going to make it in the business, it usually shows up in the first year
or
two.
You're able to screen
out. We're able to monitor it, and they're probationary for the first year. Really what it boils down to is that certain people sometimes lack the maturity to figure out that you have to show up for work every day on time and do what you're obligated to do. And that's typically the most common problem, is that somebody's not meeting the needs of the contractor that way, and we have to address that as part of our disciplinary procedure. But realistically, somewhere around 90% of everybody that comes in the door and gets accepted to the program graduates with the associated, for example, state license and or a certificate.
We'll continue our conversation with Tom Bowes, head of the Education and Outreach, and Kathy Devlin, head instructor at the IBEW NECA Electrical Industry Training Center in Warren, as you stay with us for Powering Michigan's Future on WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR. Here's Dick Haechner.
We've been talking with Tom Bowes, the Director of Education and Outreach, and Kathy Devlin, the head instructor at the IBEW NECA Electrical Industry Training Center in Warren. Tom, let's talk about your program, Earn While You Learn.
Well, that's really the foundation of our program and what makes it different from so many other educational programs out there. most of our listeners here would be familiar with, for example, like a community college-based program where you would select the classes that you wanted to take and take those classes, and that they would have some sort of referral service that perhaps you would get a job. But really, our program is designed where we don't start you into our apprenticeship unless we have a job for the participant to go to. It's concurrent learning, classroom, and field learning, and the apprentices are paid wages and benefits from day one. So, you know, if we want to compare it to like a four-year college degree where you can rack up a huge amount of debt, we're kind of the polar opposite of that, where we have a subsidized tuition program because we are privately funded through the Labor Management Partnership. We invest in those people that are coming into the program by subsidizing their education. So somebody who comes in and is accepted to our program starts out with a job, and their tuition is a mere $400 per year in order to attend. So, you know, our program is designed to put money in their pocket really from day one, and then get them from square one through the complete training program, so that at the end they turn out as a licensed journeyman or as an installer tech or as a residential electrician.
Well, Kathy Devlin, you told us in the previous segment that these apprentices are out, and they're out in the field a lot on actual job sites so that they can actually learn what it is they're being trained to do. And I would imagine there's a lot of actual work that they do at those sites. Are they able to actually get in and start working on a project, or are they just there to observe?
No, not at all. When they come into the school and they get a job assignment, they're required to go to that job. In fact, we have something called a boot camp that we have at the school, a week-long orientation for them so that they feel more comfortable on their first day on the job site. We teach them the different kind of equipment that they might be exposed to, different materials, so that when that contractor gets that apprentice on the job site, you know, he already has a step up on what things look like, what tool I should be getting. So we try to prepare our students for that first day on the job site, and they are expected to carry their weight, and under the supervision of a journeyman, they will be taught more, you know, taught the right way, but they still have this initial knowledge when they get on the job site.
Well, then earn while you learn really makes a lot of sense, because they're at work. They're working.
Oh, absolutely. They're expected to carry the weight just like a journeyman, except, you know, there's some things that, of course, the journeyman is going to have to show them the right way to do things, the safe way to do things, and the correct installation. So it is a learn as you earn, and as the student acquires more skills, then they have more responsibility on the job site.
Tom, is everyone able to get into earn while you learn?
Well, that's really the foundation of the program. And so even it's competitive to get in. You know, understand that for every number of applications that we receive, about 50% of the people don't meet the minimum qualifications of 1 year's worth of high school algebra successfully completed and a high school diploma. But based on the number of applicants that apply, you know, we are probably somewhere down around 10 or 15% of them actually get into the program. But that's really what makes it work, is because you have that limited number of people accepted, we're able then to pair them with jobs, and, you know, away you go. It's earn while you learn from day one.
How do the contractors react to that? Do they like that program?
Oh, they've been using it, as I said, for nearly 100 years now. We've had this same sort of
structure. Oh, I guess it works.
You know, so apparently it works, and it's fairly successful.
How do you train for changes in the industry?
Well, certainly it's tracked through the national program as far as market trends that are broad. But because we have this labor management partnership, it gives us kind of a unique opportunity to respond very quickly to changes within the marketplace. Sometimes it's a contractor coming to us either directly or through the Contractors Association that says, hey, I see a market opportunity here, if we can get some people trained and sometimes certified with a particular certification that is already known. Other times they may say, well, we need to develop the training, and that's actually one of my specialties is curriculum development. And we'll come up with a custom training to deal with what that market need is. The flip side of that is that the union sometimes says, hey, we need people trained with these certifications because, for example, we had a situation a few years ago where there wasn't work in town, but there was work elsewhere in the country that, for example, welders and instrumentation technicians could go to work pretty much immediately if they could get that training and that certification. And so we worked with them to get them trained and get them out and employable, or more employable as the case might be.
Is it simply a matter of the technology being upgraded? Is that the main change that occurs in the industry? But I can imagine there are other changes too, maybe even changes that you find in training, that we need to train this way instead of this way.
A lot of it is customer demand, honestly. Even though, you know, technologically it is changing at a rapid pace, so much of what we do as a labor management partnership is keeping the customer satisfied and making sure that our training offerings are lining up with their requirements. For example, in the years that Kathy and I have been in, we've seen just this exponential increase in the requirement for safety training because, you know, when you have incidents on a job, it's costly. The insurance company comes back to the contractor or to the customer and says, hey, we've got to tighten this up because we're losing money with these incidents. You know, we need additional training in order to remediate this problem. And so, you know, so much of what we do these days is looking at customer demand. For example, one of our newest labs is StormWatch training because DTE, for example, had a need for more people trained to deal with outages. And so we worked collaboratively with them, with this lab, to get more people trained for that.
Well, there are obviously no ivory towers at the Electrical Industry Training Center. You're right in there, working on the job, working with the contractors. Kathy, in this gadget-oriented world now, we have children that are messing around with electrical gadgets, smartphones, et cetera, et cetera. Do you find over the years that you get a type of apprentice coming in, a type of student that is more familiar with things that are electrical than, let's say, 10 years ago?
Well, with the iPhones, they're all capable, or the smartphones, I should say. Every student in the building has that smartphone, and out on the job site. So where Tom and I used to carry a 8x11 book to look things up, or we'd have to go by what our journeyman said, sometimes now these smartphones have all the apps available to these students, and they're on the job site looking up how to do conduit bending, you know, if they forget one of the formulas, or numerous things that they're going to Google. But I think in the classroom, we discourage the cell phone use, per se. But coming up, we're going to have a drastic change in the way we present our lessons. We are going to go to a blended learning system where the students are going to be required to do some of their homework at home on a laptop. And then it will be corrected automatically, and then the instructor will be able to see what questions they got wrong, which ones they got right, what the number of students had trouble with a particular question, and then the classroom's going to be more dedicated to getting into those labs, working on a hands-on, teaching them skills that are, that are not just answering questions or doing quizzes.
We'll have more with Kathy and Tom and a couple of the apprentices that are here in our WJR studio. So stay tuned for more of Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period. Once again, your host, Dick Haefner.
Tonight we've been talking about opportunities in the electrical industry through the Electrical Apprenticeship at the IBEW NECA Electrical Industry Training Center in Warren. And we're joined once again by Tom Bowes, the Director of Education and Outreach at the center, and Kathy Devlin, the head instructor at the center. And now we're joined by two electrical apprentices, Sam Maniacci and Brad Hewitt. Sam and Brad, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having
us. Sam, let's start with you. Tell us how you got started in the program and why you were interested in it.
I got started in this program, in the electrical industry 13 years ago, non-union. I was able to make the jump into the union aspect of the electrical industry about a year ago. I'm doing my apprenticeship over, which I am very grateful, actually, because I did a non-union training for 3 years, and it's actually night and day. The union, the JATC school I go to is much better. It's more hands-on. The teachers are incredible, and the learning is right there.
How do you like the equipment and the layout that you're working with?
Oh, the equipment is, everything's state-of-the-art. Everything's top-notch. I don't have to work with a lot of older, junkier tools. I get everything's almost brand new and really good working conditions.
So you feel like you're getting the latest up-to-date training on what is happening out there now?
I feel very privileged to be where I am today.
And why were you interested in this? You say you've been involved in this for more than 10 years. What got you involved as a child? How did you get interested in this line of work?
My father pushed me into it right after high school.
Was Dad right?
Yeah, it was actually probably one of the better choices he helped me make along the way. It's, you know, provided a career for me instead of a job. So
Brad Hewitt, how did you get started in this?
Well, actually, just an old friend of mine contacted me out of the blue one day. He had gotten into the program, and to be honest, I didn't know anything that this program even existed prior to him telling me about it. But he contacted me. He's like, "Dude, we got to get together. You know, you'd be perfect at this. You know, all the math that's involved with it." He's like, "It's for you. You'd really enjoy it." So, like I said, we sat down, talked about it, and I gave it a shot. And I have to say, it's one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Have you been good at math? Or do you like math?
Yeah. It's fun for me.
So, Tom, this is interesting that it really takes some math. You mentioned algebra being important as kind of a delineator for you to see who is a good candidate for this. But math is involved in this training.
Oh, absolutely. When we do tours at the school, typically I'll get a high school or a junior high school class that comes in. And the very first question I ask them is, all right, who in this group of 20 people on this tour likes to do story problems? Because when you stop and think about it, that's all the trade is. And it doesn't matter whether you're an iron worker, an electrician, a pipe fitter, a tin knocker, whatever it happens to be. It's an endless life of story problems that, you know, you go into work and it's how many fixtures can I fit in this space with this space in between them? You know, what's the distance? It's calculating what will be the job cost if I order so many of these versus so many of these. And, you know, it's not high order math. It's not calculus, but it's algebra used for an effective purpose in the form of applied math every day of the week.
It's structural thinking. It's some abstract thinking going on out there. Kathy, tell us about the application process. We were talking with Brad, for example, about his interest in math, and Sam telling us about how Dad pushed him into this line of work, and he was happy about it. How do you find the right apprentices?
Well, we do a lot of recruitment, like we're doing right now. We like to make people aware that our school exists. We have a great school. We have great training. We're involved in career days, job days for the high schools and middle schools. as Brad was saying, he heard from a friend of his. We get a lot of that. When our students go out and they're working on the job site, if they're in a commercial building and people are watching this, they see women out there, they see minorities out there, they say, wow, look at those people. How can I get a job like that? So a lot of times it's our people that are out there working that become our representative. And, you know, we're always looking for qualified people, people that have a good work ethic. They need to have a good attitude, and they need to have a strong desire to have a career in a technical end, because we are very technical, and it's getting more and more technical.
We see a big merger of information technology and energy technology, you know, that there's as much of an information and data component to installations these days as there is the traditional electrical aspect of
mm-hmm.
it.
I would encourage anyone that is that kind of person, that's a hands-on person looking for a good career, we give out our applications you have to come down to our school and pick up an application. We give them out on the first working Monday of every month. The next one will be March 3rd, 9 to 4 p.m. You need to have a picture ID with you and know your Social Security number.
And tell us where the center is now that we've had Kathy tell us that.
Okay. The address is 2277 East 11 Mile Road. We're basically at 11 Mile and DeQuinder in Warren.
You know, you were mentioning, both of you, the importance of math and technical knowledge. And I'm sure you're interested in observing that the K through 12 schools are talking much more now about STEM training. And STEM has become a buzzword for technical and math and electrical, which is right in the middle of that term STEM. At least the schools appear to be getting with it, that we can train these kids in K through 12 schools in things like algebra, mathematics, and steer them towards these careers, because there are jobs in these careers.
Yeah, really, things have changed in the last couple of years with realizations in the educational system that not everybody needs to go through college. You know, that we have these opportunities. If we contrast this to, you know, for example, you want to go to college, you may rack up $100,000 or a $200,000 bill, turn out without a job. You know, our program, you start with a job on day one, and you make tens of thousands of dollars as you work through the apprenticeship. And that's a marked difference in the approach, especially when you consider that a graduate from our program, you know, typically we have people that stay within the industry, but we also have people that take that training and add to it and build upon it and, you know, maybe end up in a different aspect of the field rather than just construction. You know, so that background, the fact that you can say, hey, I've been there and I've done that and I'm familiar with it, really transports over to a lot of other areas.
Mm-hmm. I would just like to add one thing also. I'm in the classroom every day as an instructor, and I have to tell you that I have students in there that have already gotten their college degree. They weren't sure what they were going to do with it. They couldn't find a job. Maybe they weren't focused enough. Maybe they just went to college for a general education, and now they're stuck. So we have a lot of people that come to us that already have a college degree, that maybe went for 3 years and dropped out because it wasn't for them. This is not your, like the saying says, this is not your dad's Buick anymore. So it used to be the dads would say, either go to college or you get in the trades. But it's not the same anymore. We have a very high, we're looking for the person that has a desire to have a career, as Sam said. He looks at it as a career, and so do I. I tell them every day, you chose this as your career, and it's going to serve you well.
We're going to ask Sam and Brad about some of their experiences out on the job sites, out on the street in the real world, as you stay with us for more of Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR. Here's Dick Haechner.
We've been talking about the opportunities in the electrical industry through the Electrical Apprenticeship at the IBEW and NECA Electrical Industry Training Center in Warren. And we've been talking with Tom Bowes, who is the Director of Education and Outreach at the center, and Kathy Devlin, the head instructor at the center, and also by two electrical industry apprentices, Sam Maniacci and Brad Hewitt. And Brad and Sam, we want to ask you more about your experiences out in the field. Brad, tell us about some of the things that you've been learning and what jobs you've been on.
As far as learning in the field, we get so much stuff from the classroom. There's only so much they can show us in there. You know, once we get out there and the journeymen are continuing. As far as the places I've worked at, I've been at Ford plants, Wayne Assembly, Flat Rock Assembly Plant. Both those were expansions for Wayne was a new press line going in. And
so you get to see assembly lines, and do you get to talk with workers there? I mean, do you get to ask them questions, or are you too busy doing your own curriculum?
With that, you mean for the people that I work for, mm-hmm. let's say
yeah.
Ford? If there's anything we're doing that is encroaching on their area or whatever, you know, we work with them, mm-hmm. The actual owners of the facilities.
Is it fun to see these new places?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just you're going 80 feet up in the air with a bundle of conduit, and you're, you know, running conduit across the, sometimes you got to get out of the basket and walk on the steel. You know, you're always tied off, but it's fun for me. I mean, it's incredible. I've done some commercial work also, the tap bar at MGM Grand. And currently I'm working with Centerline Electric at Metro Airport.
At the airport?
Yes.
Whoa. What surprising things have you encountered? You must have encountered things that you weren't expecting, and that's when, I guess, the advice and the direction of the journeymen come into play.
I'm a little bit older than the average apprentice that comes in, and I've been around a while. I've literally been halfway around the country and back.
You're able to take these new things in stride.
Right. And, I mean, I guess, like I said, I'm a little more experienced just in general with working with tools and whatnot. So it's not – a lot hasn't caught me off guard yet. As far as electrical, just all the safety involved with it, mm-hmm. you know, what you need to be
– Brad came to us from the military, right? What branch?
Correct. I was did 7 years active duty in the Air Force.
Yeah, that helps a lot. And Sam, tell us about a couple of the places that you have worked.
I've been with one contractor so far. I'm currently with Maryland Electric. We are working downtown at the AT&T headquarters. We are basically doing like a whole power infrastructure redo there. It's like they're changing everything and upgrading everything. I'm learning a lot. Rigging to pull primary cables. We're pulling cables from the 20th floor basically all the way down to the basement. It's very intense. Very good guys I work with. Very, very knowledgeable. I've been learning a lot. A lot that I doing this 10 years, you'd think I would know a lot more. But you seem to learn something almost every day. Doesn't matter where you're at.
Well, how do you feel your apprenticeship gives you an advantage over some of the people who have been in construction, for example, but haven't gone through a program like this? And you had previous experience in a non-union capacity, so you're able to compare the two.
Well, the school is night and day. The JATC is 100 times better than where I was prior before. Just like I said before, the tools, the equipment, the guys, the knowledge, the experience between everybody, the size of the jobs, the buildings, the teachers, there's such a passion with everybody I've come across for this trade. It's a lot different than it was in the non-union world. A lot safer, better benefits, better pay.
Now you're getting paid while you're doing this, too, so that really helps, doesn't it?
Oh, it helps out tremendously.
And Brad, how is the ability to be paid while you're doing this an advantage for you, other than the obvious advantage of putting money in your pocket? Is it possible that maybe you wouldn't be able to do this if you weren't getting paid?
Oh, most definitely. With a family, I wouldn't be able to quit my job, go to school full-time, to get a degree that may or may not help me out. Right now, right off the bat, I'm getting the best of both worlds. I'm getting an education, and I'm getting income.
Well, Tom, this illustrates the obvious that you're able to attract the best candidates for these positions because of these advantages that these two young men have explained.
Well, and that's part of it. You know, really, we're looking for people that are technically minded, You know, and again, we're looking for at least a year's worth of high school algebra, a GED, or a diploma. That's the minimum thing to even get in the door and take the aptitude test. We have openings. You know, we continue to have openings. Especially, it looks like this year the construction market will be fairly healthy in the Detroit metropolitan area. We'll be taking new apprentices in to address those job needs. But also, when you look at the demographics, you know, we're like a lot of other industries that we've got a huge number of people that could potentially retire within the next 10 years. And you don't develop talent overnight. You know, that really it takes some time to get through and see the scenarios and learn the technical background and then get out in the field and experience first as an apprentice, then as a journeyman, and then as a foreman, so that you're familiar with all those different aspects of the trade.
Kathy, let's talk about some of the opportunities for women and minorities and ex-military like Brad here.
Well, through my own experience going through an apprenticeship and being a journeyman inside wireman for 10 years, I want women in particular to understand that if you're the hands-on type of personality and you're looking for a good career, that there's no glass ceiling in this trade, that you get paid the same as the men. I want other minorities to understand that every apprentice is treated the same also. There's always testing of the apprentices. That happens all the time. They ask you to go out and get a cable stretcher, which doesn't exist. But, you know, that's the initiation period. If you're a good worker, you have a good work ethic, it doesn't matter what your sex is, what your nationality is, that if you're a good worker and you show them that you want to learn, there's a career opportunity for everyone out there.
Well, Kathy, you're the embodiment of opportunities for women. And I can imagine you got into this business when there weren't a lot of women in the industry.
You know, there wasn't, but I have to say that along with the opportunities you gain, you know, women, everyone, we all have the same feelings. When I first got on a job site and went to the forge places, the airport, and get in the back room and see how things work, there is such a satisfaction for everyone, women alike, when you put things together, hook things up, and then you turn on that light switch, those lights come on, that motor comes on. For the rest of your life, you're driving past a building saying, hey, I worked on that third floor and we put this in. There is such satisfaction in doing that kind of work.
Not to mention a good job. Tom, tell us how people can apply once again for the apprenticeship.
Well, the easiest way to find us is via the website, www.poweringmichigansfuture.com. Again, we give out applications on the first working Monday of each month, and it is an open application process.
Well, this has been a real interesting and different edition of Powering Michigan's Future. We've been talking with Tom Bowes, Kathy Devlin of the Electrical Industry Center in Warren, also a couple of the apprentices, Sam Maniachi and Brad Hewitt. Most of all, we want to thank you for listening to Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Dick Hafner reporting.